One of the common themes that Jesus taught about and spoke about when he was teaching about the kingdom of heaven was judgment. A lot of the people did not fully understand what he was talking about. He had told them that his good news of the gospel would not be accepted by all, but nevertheless, he continued to teach about judgment. You see, to the Jewish people, they understood that they were going to inherit eternal life just simply because they were born a Jew. But now a new teaching had come on the scene by John the Baptist and Jesus, telling them to repent from their ways and believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And that in believing in Him, they would not perish but have everlasting life. That salvation or eternal life was through faith and not through just being born a Jew. At this particular time of teaching, Jesus was sitting in the Sea of Galilee in a boat, if we remember, and the crowds were on the shore listening to him. And he was teaching them in parables so that they would understand. And he began by teaching them in the Gospel of Matthew about the farmer who went out to sow his seed. And we learned about the seed that fell on the different soils and learned about the importance of being receptive to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, receiving it in our hearts. We learned about the parable of the wheat and the weeds, that although God sowed his people in the world, Satan, the enemy, also sowed his people among them, that they would coexist for a time, but there would be a harvest time when both were harvested and the weeds would be separated and thrown into the fire. He closes this session of teaching by referring again to a parable about a net that was let down into a lake, catching all kinds of fish. And in this parable, he talks about the comparison of, or the difference between the good fish and the bad fish that were caught in this. And in this way, he taught the people about a separation or a judgment that was coming at a particular time in history. This was a common theme, if we remember, in Matthew 24, when Jesus was leaving the temple area with his disciples. He began teaching about the signs of the end of the age, the sign of his coming, and the judgment to come. And he tells them that the Son of Man will sit on his throne and the sheep will be separated from the goats. That there would be a separation, a judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, we read about the great white throne judgment where death and the grave would give up the dead. And they would stand before this great white throne and there would be a judgment of which the unrighteous would be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Inasmuch as the parable of the wheat and the weeds focuses on the fact that believers and unbelievers will coexist until the harvest, our parable today focuses on the fact that there will in fact be a harvest, a separating or a judgment. The good fish from the bad fish, the wicked from the righteous. And again, Jesus teaches us that in the kingdom of heaven, there will be a judgment. Sadly today, in our day and age, people tend to forget about this. They tend to kind of pass it off and say, well, we have a loving God. He's not going to judge us poorly. He's not going to judge us as evil. We have a loving God. And Jesus teaches us, as does the Bible all throughout, that there is going to be a judgment in which people are going to be separated and going to separate places. Biblically, the Bible talks about this judgment as being a harvest. You know, when one picks their vegetables out of their gardens, we go to our gardens and we start picking. And we look at them and we say, wow, there looks like a good tomato. And we reach down to pick it, we turn it over and it's rotten on the other side. Or it's been eaten by maybe a mole or a mouse or something that has eaten it. So we pick it off and what do? We have this little special place in the corner of our lot or by our garden where we throw all the garbage to rot up. On the other hand, we reach down, we pick a nice tomato that looks good, it's unblemished, and we take it into our house, and we process it, and we enjoy it, because it's turned out to be what we intended it to be. Same way when one fishes. If you've ever been fishing, you know you're going out fishing. Maybe you're fishing for bass, and as you're fishing for bass, you're trying to pull that big one in, and you're throwing out there, and all of a sudden, what do you catch? Maybe you catch a little perch or something. Something that you don't want. So what do? You take it off the hook and you throw it back. You throw it away. Because that's not what you actually want. And Jesus, being at the Sea of Galilee, would have been speaking about fishing appropriately to these people who were fishing families that were engaged in this trade for their income. And what Jesus says at this time and to us today is that though believers and unbelievers will coexist together for a time in the kingdom of heaven, there will be a time of judgment. We do not know when that will be. The disciples asked Jesus when that will be, and Jesus said that no one knows the day or the hour. So when somebody knocks on your door and wants to sit down and talk with you and convince you that their way is the right way and that they can tell you they figured out the day that that's going to happen, you tell them, please, I need to ask you to leave, because that's called heresy. And it's not the truth. Jesus said, no one knows the day nor the hour, not even Jesus himself, only the Father in heaven. But we do know one thing, it is going to happen. It could happen in 5 minutes, it could happen in an hour, it could happen in 100 years. But will we live that long? Will we have the chance, if we've not already made the right decision, to change our mind? And I want to go on about that. In John chapter 16, John tells us that he, speaking of Jesus, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That when that time comes and Jesus comes back, he's going to convict the world concerning its sin, concerning righteousness and judgment. And at that time, as Jesus teaches in his parable, it's going to be like a net that's let down into a lake and catches all kinds of fish. And when it's full, the fishermen pull it up on the shore. Then they sit down and they collect the good fish in baskets. They have value. They're worthy to be kept. But they threw the bad fish away. And this is how it will be, Jesus says, at the end of the age. The angels will come and they will separate the wicked from the righteous. The King James Version says, the wicked from the just. And they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, again, we have to understand that this separation will determine where someone spends eternity. It's not a matter of separating so that some will be a little closer to the throne and some will be a little farther away. It's a separation of destruction for the wicked into the lake of fire for eternity, as Revelation teaches us about that judgment. I want you to look at two words this morning. The wicked and the righteous, or the wicked and the just, because this is the question. Who are the wicked and who are the righteous? In the Greek language, the word wicked implies an ill sense, being ill, in the sense of being morally derelict, being immoral, guilty of moral offenses, lawlessness. And what does the Bible tell us? Sin is lawlessness. Being morally derelict or morally guilty, being immoral, means you have broken God's laws. So the wicked are those who are lawbreakers. The just, however, are equitable in character. They're innocent or holy by implication, not because of anything they have done, but because there's something special about the just or the righteous. Something that distinguishes them and separates them from the wicked at that time and in this time right now. And we're going to learn what that is. First of all, this tells us something about God. It tells us He is loving, and it tells us He is just. It tells us He's loving, and it tells us He is just. It tells us for the righteous, He's going to gather us in as the wheat was gathered into the barns. But He's also just, which means He adheres to His law. And His law says that for those who sin, for those who rebel, for those who break My laws, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. Part of Jesus' ministry was to warn people and to warn you and I. Now, we like the love part, don't we? We like this love part. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. The Bible tells us that we have promise of eternal life through believing in Jesus Christ. John 3:17 tells us that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world or judge it, but to save it. So you see, Jesus' purpose wasn't to judge when He came to the world. He came to save the world. The judgment is yet to come. But we like that love part. God loves us all. He loves the whole world. But we ignore the just part. When John saw in Revelation a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and Hades gave up the dead. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think that's pretty convincing when we read this whole concept about judgment through the Bible. What's going to happen to the wicked, to the unjust, to the unrighteous? So the question is, are you a good fish or are you a bad fish? Are you the wicked or are you the righteous? That's the battle we face every day. That's the bondage that many people walk around every day of their lives. One minute I'm a good fish, the next minute I'm a bad fish. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And I say, you don't have to feel that way. That we are freed for joyful obedience. Because God proved His love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why so many people can't find peace. They're out in the world trying to search for peace. But they're never going to find it until they truly know their future and what awaits them in Jesus Christ. Because we're always trying to control our future. We find peace if we can control what's going to happen and we can figure it all out so that we can do the right thing. So I want to tell you today, we can know our future all the way into eternity if we just do one thing. Trust in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because in Him and Him alone come true righteousness. Some say, well, we can't be sure, we don't know. Others say, well, I certainly hope I'm a good fish. And then yet others say, well, I'm just not sure. And then there are all these other religions that they can tell you how to do this. Now listen to what I'm saying. They can tell you how to do this. Through works, doing good things. Some religions teach that we're reincarnated till we reach that higher state of goodness and perfection. Some religions teach about karma, that there are things that we have to do to reach this ultimate peace. But that brings unsurety in a person's life because we can never know if we have done enough good to go to heaven. We can never know if we're going to be reincarnated because no one has ever spoken to a tree, have they? No one has ever spoken to anybody that's been reincarnated, but the apostles saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. Paul spoke to Jesus on the road to Damascus. The resurrected Christ proof that there is a resurrection for the righteous. And some will tell you, well, you need to be a good person. And I say, but what's the standard to tell whether I'm a good person or not? There has to be a standard that everyone has to meet in order for someone to say, I'm a good person. Because somebody says, well, I've done this. And I say, yeah, but look at that person over there. They've done more than you have. How do you know that you're a good person comparing with them? You can't do that. That's not how it works. There has to be one standard of perfection for everybody. It's not the same for all. That's called moral relativism. In other words, well, that's okay for you, but that's not okay for me. That's garbage, because we can never know that that's in that state. But there is a way to know. There is a way to be sure. There is a way to be positively, absolutely sure whether you're a good fish and where you're going to go. Paul told the Corinthians, first of all, that God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in Jesus Christ, God poured our sin on him so that we might become righteous. And John tells in 1 John, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made God to be a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And John writes, because the people were wrestling with the same things we are today, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. It is a done deal. All we need to do is receive it as the truth in our lives. And Luke reminds us that he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. What Luke was saying is that God has fixed a day when he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the standard of Jesus Christ. And he gave us proof that Jesus was righteous, in that he raised him from the dead. So what this tells us is that those who are righteous are raised from the dead. And Jesus is the proof of that. And we say, well, we can't be righteous. The Bible tells us we are in Jesus Christ. It's not the perfection that we think of, that we're going to be good people, that we're going to be perfect. It is a pronouncement of righteousness that God sees us and sees the blood of Christ on us and says, you're mine. It's an identification thing where the Holy Spirit seals us up until the day of redemption. Paul taught about this in Romans chapter 3. A righteousness of God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ. You see, all other religions are based on what you and I do. Christianity is based on what the perfect Savior of the world did. The perfect Savior of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in that camp. Because that's perfection. That's righteousness. That's my righteousness. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. But I can live with joyful obedience to know that my future is secure because of the cross. Not because of anything that I do, although I displease my Father in this life. I still belong to Him. The good fish are the same as the good soil and the good seed, receptive of the gospel of Jesus Christ and pointing to heaven to glorify the one who sowed the good seed, and that is the Son of Man. And it is of utmost importance to make sure that you are a good fish, a righteous fish. Because more than once the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that a judgment is coming. And the question is, where will you end up? And it all hinges on our faith in the righteous one that God sent. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through Christ. I want to give you a little example, and I'll close here this morning. First of all, one writer puts it this way: in the choir of life, it's easy to fake the words, but someday each of us is going to have to sing solo before God, one by one, in the judgment. In the days of the pioneers, when there were prairie fires, the prairie fires would be so huge and they'd move so fast that the pioneers couldn't even get out of their way. So you know what they did? When they saw the prairie fires coming, they would take a certain area in front of them and they would burn it off. They would burn it off. And as the fires approached and were surrounding them to kill them, they would get into this area where all the vegetation was burnt. And because it was already burnt, the flames could not come and consume them. When the judgment of God comes to sweep men and women into hell for eternity, there's one spot that's safe. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the wrath of God was poured out on Calvary. There, the Son of God took the wrath that should have fallen on us. And if we take our stand by the cross, we are safe for all time and eternity. You see, these messages of judgment are very unnerving for a lot of people. I remember the days when Billy Graham used to hang over the pulpits around our country at his crusades. Scare the life right out of me. But you know, the voice that was speaking to me personally was warning me and telling me there's going to be a judgment someday. And as the Holy Spirit continued to work in me, I realized how important it was for me to base my future, my eternity, on something that has already been done for me. And that I had a choice to either accept it or reject it. To either be a good fish or a bad fish. Because the time would come when the fish would be separated and either kept in the basket or cast into the fire. And it's not that I didn't want to be in the fire, it's that I wanted to be with Jesus Christ forever. Now you might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I've already accepted that and I know that's the truth and that's what I believe. But maybe there's somebody next to you, or maybe somebody in your family, or maybe somebody where you work that does not know this and needs to hear it. It's uncomfortable to teach, to talk about. But it's a warning that Jesus himself gives us. And surely we don't want to see our friends and our family and our coworkers die, do we? For all eternity. This is a serious thing that Jesus was teaching. That in the kingdom of God, there will be a judgment. Where will you be? I ask this morning that if you do not know Jesus in this way and you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, you can come at the end of this service. Come forward and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Or if you'd just like to come forward and pray, feel free. Our altars are always open. Our rails are always open for prayer. But as the Holy Spirit moves you, come and we'll pray together and ask the Lord to come into your heart and make you a good fish. Let's pray. Dear God, we hear your word, and sometimes it makes our hearts squirm with anxiety because the enemy tries to tell us that we cannot be sure